Welcome to Culture Couch,
a pop culture podcast.
Wah, wah. So disappointing.
We're not doing a beer this time or this week. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so this is, I'm just going to tell you right now that I can't read any of this bottle. I grabbed this off a shelf in Norway.
Oh, okay.
It was next to the whiskey section.
Okay.
Well, it was actually in the whiskey section. However, which is funny because their liquor stores had an English label, like, mm-hmm. It had whiskey in Norwegian, but underneath it had whiskey in English. So I thought that was kind of funny. Anyways, this was in the whiskey section, but it's A-G-U-A-V-I-T. And it's actually like a special type of drink in Scandinavia.
Okay.
That's just like a, type of brewing method. It's like its own brewing method. It's 40% contact and it's from Norway. And that's what I can tell you about this bottle.
Okay, cool.
The rest of it is in Norwegian.
Let me see it.
It's a really cool bottle.
Oh, Gjallarhorn. Akavit. I have no idea what that is. It looks very, very...
Scandinavian.
Norse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Only thing I can read on there is 40% alcohol.
It has a very earthy smell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to smell it.
I mean, I have you a glass right
here. Oh, you poured it already?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So it's got like a very...
Oh, it smells like black licorice. I did a little jingle for that.
Oh, why did you say that? Because now that's all I'm going to think.
Well, because that's the first thing I'm going to smell. Like,
I hate black licorice.
So do I. Yeah. That's a no for me.
That tastes like black licorice.
It straight up tastes like black licorice. There are things that kind of have like that fennel black licorice-y flavor. That are way worse than that, though, I will say.
Yeah, it's like mild, but it has mm-hmm. like a... There's actually some aftertaste in there that I don't mind.
Yeah.
But that first, like...
I'm going to finish this, though, because I want to be a little bit prepared for our conversation today.
Yeah. Please, should I go get the JMO?
No, because I have to drive.
I got crusted.
Because if you break out the crusted, I am not going anywhere. All right, well... that's very interesting. We'll have to put a picture of that on there to see if anybody recognizes that or has tried it here. I don't even know if it's sold here.
As far as I know, it's not. I mm-hmm. got that up in Bergen, Norway. And I actually kind of... Funny story. I actually got that. I went to go look for Crested. Which, did I tell you I was going to look? Or did I just grab one and then text you and say, I got you a bottle. You owe me $40.
You said you were going to look for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's like this unspoken rule. If you see Crested... Mm-hmm. Buy a bottle for your friends. Like,
yeah.
If you ever are out of the country, you see Crested, don't mm-hmm. ask. Just give me one. I'll pay you whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, Jameson's great and all, but Jameson Crested is like next level. It's so good.
It is my favorite whiskey I've ever had.
Yeah.
Mine too. I'm sure we'll find something else that competes with it at some point, but it's so good. I could talk about Jameson for an hour.
Like, yeah.
I love it.
It's so good. And if you have the opportunity, random tangent, but if you have the opportunity, go to the distillery in Ireland. If you're ever needing something to do, if you're touring, it is very, very cool. I was blown away by like how fascinating it actually
and
was.
And we did like their simplest one. Mm-hmm. There's a longer tour. And so we actually didn't do their distillery. It's the old distillery in Dublin because mm-hmm. they moved their factory eventually. So it's where their distillery used to be in Dublin. They do tours in their like active distillery.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to Ireland and do that one.
Yeah, that would be super cool. I just loved it. And you get to taste everything that they have. And they have a bar at the end where you can, they have a bunch of different cocktails with the
yes, we sat there and just got some cocktails.
Yeah, we had like two or three drinks each because we just wanted to try everything.
Even Rara drinks some, and he doesn't even like whiskey. He doesn't like drinking. And he even had, like their cocktails were phenomenal.
Yeah, very, very good. I took a picture of the menu so I could make them. I haven't made any of them, but I have a picture of it.
It's a year and a half later.
So one of these summers.
You know, we should have done that for St. Patrick's Day.
We should have lost opportunity. You know what? But hey, summer's coming.
Summer's up. Summer, nothing like summer drinking.
I know. All right, do you have a pop culture on the radar?
I had one on my mind, and then I kind of forgot it because I watched 3 episodes of this show, and it put me in a bad mood.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Let me see if I can jog my memory real fast.
Mine is just going to be season 4 of Blown Away. It's one of the best reality competition shows, I think. I've said this before, just because the contestants are not catty with each other. They're all like super respectful. They're really talented artists. And I would have never really considered getting glass art until I started watching this show. And it's amazing. So go watch it. It's pretty awesome.
It is a good show. It's one of my more favorite shows to watch in when I just want to not have to think and just be entertained.
Mm-hmm. And just watch really cool shit happening. And glass blowing is so cool.
And the way they film, this the whole time I'm like, I could not do that.
Yeah.
But I like want to at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Like their shop has to be huge because they've got the camera equipment running around in there. They've got all the assistants. They've got all the contestants. Yes. Like it's, I don't know how they do it, but it's freaking cool.
I do have one actually.
Okay.
This is going to be kind of a throwback. I recently have listened to The Hobbit, Fellowship of the Ring, and Two Towers. I'm in the middle of listening to Return of the King.
Okay.
So middle, basically about to finish Middle Earth.
Is this your first time going through that whole series?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
And on Sunday, I watched Fellowship of the Ring Extended Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie still holds up.
Oh, they absolutely do.
There's 2 shots that are a little choppy on CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 1 in 2 towers that I know is choppy because I even remember the first time I saw the extended edition, I went, that's a little choppy. It's when the wolves first come.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a part where it's like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a choppy, but I don't remember. Does Return of the King have any that are a little like?
Ugh. I don't think so. Not anything that sticks out in my mind anyway. But I mean, considering that those are 20 years old plus.
Yes.
And they still, like, the fact that they were able to accomplish what they did in that time is crazy.
That's how I feel about Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars Episode 3.
Yeah.
Like, I watched that, and I'm like, this could be put out today and be better than 90% of the movies that come out, and it came out in 2003. Like,
yeah.
Just every now and then there's someone just, like, I am very suspicious that Dune 2 is going to be that. In 20 years, we're going to look back and go,
oh, absolutely. I mean, you just look at Dune 2 and how it's, like, a fraction of the budget of the latest, like, 5 or 6 Marvel movies. And they accomplished so much with their visual effects. Like,
yes.
Even the things that were CGI do not look CGI. The sandworms do not look CGI.
They look real.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job. So, yeah, I think Lord of the Rings obviously is, you know, it was one of the most successful TV movies for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Has a really, you know, their TV show has done very well.
And one of the biggest pieces of pop culture, I would dare say.
And so. I would argue that we would not have fantasy where it is today without Lord of the Rings.
No.
Just that book was so far ahead. It's Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia. They really paved the way for fantasy moving forward.
Yeah.
Like nothing exists. Wheel of Time, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, like all these other series. Like just none of them exist if Lord of the Rings wasn't ran. So
yeah.
I love it. I love the book. They're actually like weirdly fast reads.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've heard a lot of people be like, I hate the Lord of the Rings books. They're so slow and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
well, you're listening to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The text, like in most of the actual books, it's very arduous to get through.
What do you
because
mean?
Like for whatever reason, they like size the font down a ton. And so it's like, really just hard.
It's like hard physically to read.
Yes.
Also, listen, I'm kidding. I'm
sure they have like versions of it out there that aren't like that are more like storybook friendly, you know?
And like bit newer fonts, like yes. Times Numeral, not like some old 8 print tiny.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to the one done by Andy. How does he say his last name?
Circus.
Gollum, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he did an audio recording for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Dude, phenomenal. He is so good. So I listened to Hobbit and Fellowship,
mm-hmm.
and then I accidentally for Two Towers got the other guy because they both are on Audible.
Oh yeah.
And I listened to 10 minutes and went, I can't do this. I returned it and went and got Andy's. Like I was like, I accidentally did. I was like, whatever, I'll tough it out just to see how it is. 10 bits of money.
You're just like, nope, it's got to be Andy.
He's just so much better. And he also does Gollum better, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he literally is Gollum. Mm-hmm. He like just is so perfect at it. But like even everyone else, the way he does Legolas and Gimli, Aragorn and all the hobbits, he's...
Andy Serkis is a very talented actor. I'm honestly shocked that he hasn't like had a bigger career. He's had a very like solid career because he does a lot of like the like mocap and all that for a lot of CGI heavy movies. Like he does a lot of the mocap for like all of the Planet of the Apes movies. He does a lot of voice acting for a lot of stuff.
I was just surprised he doesn't do more audibles because of how good he is. I mean, I would put this up there with Jim Dale on Harry Potter. Like there's just some people that are just leagues ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he'll do more in the future.
Hopefully. Yeah.
But all right, that concludes us for our business. We're just going to jump into this topic. We will issue a trigger warning for anyone listening. We're going to talk about something that is very heavy and very difficult to talk about. But in recent light, the documentary on Max called, Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, aired on Max, like, I think a week ago?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. And it's been all over TikTok. If you're on TikTok, everyone's talking about it. If you grew up watching Nickelodeon, you should probably watch it. However, be prepared to have your childhood a little bit tarnished, because that's kind of what I experienced a little bit, too. First and foremost, did you grow up watching Nickelodeon?
I watched every episode of Drake and Josh like 3 times.
Okay.
Maybe more. Mm-hmm. I did also watch iCarly a little bit. But iCarly...
That was like the early 2000s era of Nickelodeon. Yeah. I didn't get into that. Once I like hit middle school, I kind of stopped watching Nickelodeon.
Yeah, so iCarly was like the end for me. Like that was probably the last. And I didn't even watch all of it. I only watched probably... I shouldn't say I watched iCarly. I watched bits and pieces of it because it was kind of the end of my growing out.
Yeah.
But I always watched, all the Kids' Choice Awards.
I never watched the Kids' Choice Awards. I feel like I always missed it and I was always so bummed, but now I'm glad that I didn't.
And then, and as far as like reality TV, because they also had cartoons on Nickelodeon, because they had Neutron, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was them. I also watched so much Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah, I loved Jimmy Neutron. I watched a ton of the animated stuff.
So, and I obviously saw like bits of, a couple of their other shows, the Amanda show. I watched some of,
I loved the Amanda show.
It was okay. Drake and Josh just tickled my fancy in so many ways.
It's mostly just cause like Amanda show was such a, like, it was so slapstick, like Saturday Night Live for kids basically, you know? Yeah. And all that was the same.
See, I didn't like all that because it was like a little too chaotic for me.
So chaotic.
And even at a young age, I could not handle just like those types of shows where it's just like sets and just like madness and stuff falling and from the ceiling.
Screaming and just like
chaos. Like I just can't handle because I just like everyone shut up. Like I struggle with those shows a little bit.
Even some shows now are still made like that where they're just like constantly screaming at each other. And it's just like. How does anybody watch this? Like,
yeah.
I don't get it. All right. Yeah. So I watched everything on Nickelodeon up until, like I said, about the early 2000s. I watched like a tiny, tiny bit of iCarly. And then I did watch a lot of Drake and Josh. And then that was about the end for me. But yeah. So when this documentary came out, I was very intrigued. One, because when you grow up and you are an adult and you watch all the things that you used to watch as a kid through the lens of an adult, it changes, I feel.
Yes.
Either for the better or sometimes for the worse. Or you can be like, man, this is just really crap quality. Like, why did I ever think this was funny, you know?
Yeah.
But just you have two different brains looking at it, you know? So, yeah, I went back and watched like little clips and some of the other stuff that I had, you know, was like feeling nostalgic about. And then when this documentary was announced, I obviously was super intrigued because I am fascinated, I guess is a better word, by like true crime and all that kind of stuff. And I'm also so like anti how I feel everybody should be, but so anti, like, predatory of children, you know? Like,
a very simple concept.
Yeah, anybody who, like, preys on children, just, you have no place here on this earth, I feel. But, so obviously I was really bummed out just seeing the announcement of the show. I'm like, damn it, like, here we go. Although, you know that those kind of things happen. And I'm sure Disney has something just as bad under their,
yes,
under their rug.
Oh, we know they do.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it a little later.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was a little bit worried because I'm like, oh, man, like, what are we going to learn about? What are we going to, you know, what kind of shit is going to be dug out? But I'm so glad that it's happening because it needs to be seen and people need to be aware of what happens.
Yeah, it's this weird cultural phenomenon that seems to hit everywhere where all of a sudden – we all want the truth about how things are done.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
it's fascinating just to see, yeah, like, behind the scenes stuff. Like, that's super cool.
But they come in waves, and mm-hmm. that's like, everyone's okay not knowing. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, I want to know everything about the music industry.
Yeah.
And all the dirty secrets. I want to know this, right? But until it happens, and that's what I mean by cultural phenomenon, right? Like, until it starts coming out and all of a sudden society just, like, laser focuses on it and TikTok does its thing and mm-hmm. everyone freaks out and tells the stories and gets mad and rightfully so upset. And then like, there's going to be something else. That's what sucks, right? Like, this isn't like Nickelodeon isn't the last group. Mm-hmm. They're not the first, then they're for sure selling isn't going to be the last. And, you know, you hope and you think like, oh, maybe we're at a better point, but we're not.
Well, and that's the thing, is you would think that after seeing how many people are watching this, that it would light a fire under the studio's asses to be like, oh, we should get our shit together and make sure that our kids are staying safe. You know, like, the kids, yes, that are working for us, that are making us money, are staying safe. And we better make sure that they have adults on their side that are looking out for them, you know?
Yeah.
You would hope. That I mean, that's the only thing is you can hope. Anyway, if you have not seen it or if you don't know what it is a documentary that is describing all of the terrible things that were happening at the set of a lot of Nickelodeon shows. Mainly All That, which I think ran for about 5 or 6 seasons. The Amanda Show, which most people know was led by Amanda Bynes.
That was like 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah.
All these shows have short runs because they're built for an age group.
Mm-hmm. And then once the star gets too big, like, they're gone. And then what? Like, you know, what else can they do?
And not only that, right? Like, Drake and Josh was built for people between a certain age group.
Yeah.
Not only did Drake and Josh grow up, but the target audience grew up. Mm-hmm. And they have to set the stage for the next group.
Yep. And so they make the new shows like iCarly and Victorious and, you know, all those things.
Which honestly is probably part of the problem with Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
Because there's just this constant hustle to, what's next? I need more. We need more faster.
Yes.
We need to have the next big star. We always have to have the next big star. We need more. You need to do better, right? Like, just this constant, you know, hammering that he's driving, which can be done in a healthy way. He just didn't do it that way. He did it in the worst way possible.
He did it in the worst way possible. Dan Schneider was the writer for a lot of these shows. And
producer and the brainchild.
Yes.
Right? Like,
he started from, like, nowhere. I don't really know. I mean, you're going to have to watch the documentary. We're not going to dive into all that. That kind of, like, takes away from the documentary, I feel. So we're just going to talk about, like, highlights and kind of our thoughts on it. But
I think lowlights would be the better.
Yeah, lowlights, I should say. But we will discuss, like, the names of the people who are mentioned in it. But we're not going to, like I said, go in depth. But yeah, fuck Dan Schneider. Am I right?
Dude.
It's too bad.
I'm going to say something that sounds really bad, but the whole time I watched that, I was like, how many cheeseburgers does this guy need to get through a day?
That's the thing is
he's just the grossest human.
Well, the things that he would say to his female colleagues, like, yes, people that worked with him, I'm like, where the fuck do you have any room to talk,
like,
dude?
Not Amanda Bynes. It was Brandy. She wasn't on it, but her mom was.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about how, like, they're like, hey, she needs to lose weight. She needs to lose weight. She needs to lose weight. And I'm like, how is Dan Schneider the one calling?
Yeah. Why is the one who is writing the show able to make those calls when he literally looks like he's one cheeseburger away from a fucking heart attack?
Yes. And, like, I don't know. I'm okay bullying bullies. So I don't feel bad.
He's not a bully. He's a monster. And I'm okay bullying a monster.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So like, I don't think, yeah, he's, it's really hard to express in words how much I don't like him.
Well, and here's the thing is Dan Schneider was never charged with anything. There was no evidence that ever came out and said anything against Dan, aside from now this documentary. The first time I had ever really heard that name, well, I mean, I saw it all the time as a kid, but I never really thought anything about it. Because you see Dan Schneider, like, oh, written by Dan Schneider, produced by Dan Schneider. But you just don't think about those things.
I mean, and we also don't have the internet like we do now. You can't just look up and be like, oh, who's Dan Schneider? Yeah. Like, he was just a name.
Mm-hmm. The first time I had really heard his name getting thrown around was when Jeanette McCurdy, who was on iCarly, she played Sam, I believe, is the character's name. She wrote a book called I'm Glad My Mother Died. And she had a really terrible relationship with her mother. Her mother was very abusive and she was kind of forcing her to stay in acting to basically be her cash cow. Like, you know, a lot of these parents do to these unfortunate children. And she started whistleblowing a lot on Dan Schneider and like calling him out for all of his bullshit. And so, but nothing like really ever came of it. And no one like really decided to, I mean, maybe that's kind of what kickstarted this documentary. I'm not sure. Cause it was a few years ago. But like, I just remember people like kind of being like, oh my gosh, Dan Schneider, he's a creep. He's into like children's feet. Like, cause he has a lot of things on his shows that are all about feet.
Yes.
And I mean, you've seen in the documentary from what you've watched. And so, but like nothing came of it. And I was so shocked that like the world didn't drag his ass out from the dark and like say, look at this guy. Like we should be looking at him until now.
The hard part with the shows is it's really easy to look at now and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But when you're a kid and you just kind of think it's in lightheartedness, it's really easy to brush off, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I did it so much as a kid.
I mean, even as an adult, like had I not known everything about Dan Schneider, if all these things come out, I could have watched all of Drake and Josh again and been like, eh, it's a kid's show and kind of rolled my eyes, right? Yeah. Just been like, they're just being lighthearted. And it
was
dumb.
The early 2000s, the times was a little bit different.
Yes, right? Yeah. Like it's easy to find it. But then all of a sudden when it's like, oh, no, he's very narcissistic. He's got all these like issues. He hires pedophiles on his crew and his pedophiles are writers. And then it's all of a sudden like, then you rewatch it from an enlightened state, you could call it, and go, oh, guys were effed up.
Yeah. Once you've like, you know, we've been exposed to the world. Now we can look and see what like the real intention was behind these jokes. And they're so bad.
Except for, I will say there's one thing like that I don't know how any adult watched that. There's two things. One, the taint thing.
Okay, first of all, I thought her name was Penelope Tate when I was a kid. I never thought her name was Penelope Taint.
Yeah, there's no way. Because I know that there's other people, you know, hey, what's that? And he like had some justification, like it's tainted, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had there is no way you can convince me that you could get five adults in the room and all five would not know what a taint is.
Well, and in the documentary, one of the women like brought that up and I was like, we probably shouldn't name her this because that's what this means. And Dan was just like, yeah, you know, but just like, don't say anything. Like, it's funny. Like that was his intention, was to use that word and put it in there as a gross joke.
His bosses came to him and they're like, what does that word mean? Mm-hmm. And then he made up the whole, like, how did his bosses not
go? Well, that's how he justified it, by saying like, oh, it's like she's like
tainted,
corrupt and gross. And she's like a crazy fan. And you know, she just is crazy. She's tainted.
But like, so how there's, you just cannot convince me that Dan's bosses didn't really know what it meant. Mm-hmm. They took his BS excuse and went, whatever.
Yeah.
Once
they started showing like all the other clips and stuff, cause like there's a lot of stuff from iCarly I haven't seen. I don't even think I've seen a single episode of Victorious. I watched Zoe 101 for a while.
I've seen episodes of that.
Yeah. So I really liked Zoe 101, but now like you see all the shit about it and it's just yucky. Like they're putting these girls in tiny little mini skirts and they're like supposed to be 14 and 15. It's like, you're creep ass motherfuckers.
Well, go on.
Have you seen clips yet? It might be in the fourth episode, but like the clips with Ariana Grande, cause that's where she got her start, was on Sam and Carly.
That's in episode 2.
Okay.
And she's lying on her back and dumping water on herself.
Yes. Well, and then she's like squeezing a potato.
Yes.
Yep. And like trying to juice the potato.
And she's like moaning.
Yeah. Oh my God. I had never seen that. And when I watched those clips, I like my mouth fell open and my hand was just like over my mouth. I could not believe that that was screened and cleared by adult people. Yes. And it was put on TV. I cannot wrap my head around that. For children.
Not only was it put on TV, the target audience is kids.
Yes.
No adults are watching that because you don't watch Nickelodeon as an adult.
Right. And if your kid's just in the bedroom and they're like, oh, we know for a fact they're watching Nickelodeon. It's fine. It's safe. It's whatever. No.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Screen everything that your children are watching. I just, those clips. There is just, it is so obvious of what they're trying to do. And one of them, she's even like putting her feet in her mouth. And there's like a whole thing with Dan Schneider having a thing with feet. The logo for Nickelodeon for a long fucking time was an orange foot. Like it all makes sense now. Like he's a fucking sicko. And he never got in trouble. He was never charged with anything.
I mean, there's a whole thing of him sitting with Amanda Bynes in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And she's in a bikini. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not.
I don't think she was in a bikini. But she might not have been.
Tight swimsuit. Sure. Tighter than a 14-year-old should be in a swimsuit.
And he's fully dressed. It's like, so why can't you put her in, like, have her be fully dressed too when there's a grown-ass man? Also, why are you having a segment with a child in a hot tub anyway?
An adult and a child in the hot tub.
It's weird. Yes. And, like, the fact that, like, one of the questions that she asked, I'm sure it was scripted, but she's like, can I get a raise? And he just goes, no. And, like, I don't know if that's just him like trying to assert like, oh yeah, like I have power. I'm Dan Schneider. I get to say.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because like there's a whole different script, you know, probably 10 years earlier than that scene. Maybe not 10, but a few years earlier where they're all going like, Dan's God. Dan's the best. We need to talk to Dan. Dan's our hero. There's a whole scene of all these kids telling me how great Dan is.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I remember watching the Amanda Show, mostly the Amanda Show, and there would be these random moments when this big fat guy would always make a cameo. And every single time he came on screen, even me as a kid, and I've always kind of just been a little bit more in touch with things, I think. I don't know. My mom has told me that I was. But like every time he would come on screen, there just was something about him that he just creeped me out. And it was the same actor that they always used. And come to find out, which I didn't know until I watched this documentary, it was fucking Dan Schneider.
Yes.
He would make all these cameos. He was like an old fat teacher with like crazy white hair and a big red like sweater. He was the cop that would make appearances all the time. And every single time I saw him, I'm like, why do they keep putting him on?
And like, why is he here?
I don't want him here. And now like, I totally get it. Like I could just sense it through the TV that he's a fucking sicko.
Nothing has come out about him and Amanda, like,
no
relationship-ish wise, but I would not be surprised.
Well, the documentary said that when, you know, all the kids, they had to go to school still. So they had educators come to the set and they would have school on set because they were working a ton. And then there would be times or days when Amanda would be gone for hours and just wasn't attending school with everyone else.
But the teachers were hired by Dan.
Well, yeah. And then Dan was also nowhere to be found. And whenever they would ask, they would say, oh, Amanda's just with Dan. They're coming up with, you know, concepts for new stuff. And it's like, first of all, why are you involving a child to write stuff? A child's not going to write your content. A child's just there to work, to show up, do the part. Like, no, you don't need to involve the child.
So my counter there is like, you could involve the child in writing to help them grow their career in that direction if they wanted to go that direction, but do it the right way.
Yeah. With an adult present.
Multiple adults present.
Yes.
Like not one.
Probably her parents maybe.
Yes.
Turns out her dad's also a fucking creep ass too.
So that's the problem. You need multiple checks because
it just sucks because none of these kids, none of them, a bunch of them had no adults in their lives to look over or look out for them.
And then the ones that did.
Yeah.
Just got pushed out by Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm, they got sniffed out by people who just tried to like pull them out like a weed and then get rid of them and replace them with a fucking demented sicko.
And you can't convince me that this lifestyle is what messed these people up in adults. right?
No, it's not the lifestyle. It's what's happening to them.
That's what I'm like the situations that they were forced into, and unfortunately were a part of, is what just like messed them up. There, you know, like Amanda Bynes is screwed up because of what happened to her.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is when, I mean, everybody knows kind of the state of Amanda Bynes, and it seems like she's starting to kind of turn things around now, and she's like, you know, on some kind of path forward. But she, like a few years ago, just started rattling off on Twitter. She was using a different or a fake name, so it wasn't actually her, yeah, but it had the same initials. It was like Ashley Banks or something. And I think she was using a picture of herself, but I'm not really sure. But she started tweeting all these things, and a lot of people knew that it was Amanda Bynes, and she had said like some really terrible stuff. Again, trigger warning. But one of the tweets that she said, imagine being impregnated by your boss at 13 and having to get an abortion for it. Like, that was just one of them in like this whole string of tweets. And so many people were just like, ah, she's crazy. She's on drugs. She's crazy. It's like, that is the mentality that keeps them where they are. You don't allow them. You don't want to hear them. So like, why are you shocked?
I just want to provide an update, 'cause I read this yesterday, and, I don't know if I would fully say that Amanda Bynes is okay right now. Last March, she got checked into a psych ward for suicide. She was there till July, and she just got checked out.
As in a year ago?
She checked in last March, March of 23.
Okay.
And then she was there until July of 23.
She's been active on Instagram lately and TikTok, I think, and she's actually trying to get a manicurist license.
Okay, so she's...
So, yeah, from a year from, you know... From then, now she's like doing some things. The thing is too with her, and I don't know if it's just because, you know, whatever she's dealing with, but she'll like start one idea and she'll just never see it through, or she'll do it for like a day and then never see through. But I'm sure it's not easy for her to live a life at all.
No. And like, I mean, even Drake, right? Like, you can't convince me. He had drug issues, two DUIs.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol was a big
issue for him.
Big battle for him for a long time.
And you just can't convince me that had he not been in the situation he was, like, and maybe he still could and have had those problems. And like, I don't know. He was just set up for failure going into his adulthood. Yeah. And that's what sucks. Mm-hmm. Is they're, well, and that's all these kids. They're all set up for failure. You know, they turn 18 and they just get dumped.
Yeah. The shitty thing is Drake had his dad on his side, but Brian Peck, who was another fucking monster that deserves to rot in hell, he saw a flaw that he could exploit, and he took advantage of that. And he told Drake that your dad's just here to take all your money. He's going to cause all these problems for you. He's going to take away your success. And so he drove this huge wedge between them, pushed him out, and then it led Brian to basically come in and take over as manager. I think his mom became manager for a little bit, but then I think ultimately Brian Peck moved in as manager.
Became manager. Something.
Yeah. Not like officially. It was like he was just helping Drake make all these decisions and stuff. And that's when he started taking advantage of him physically and doing really horrendous and deplorable things to him as a 15-year-old boy.
So here's the thing with Brian Peck that, and I mentioned earlier, like, Disney is stupid. You know, Brian Peck worked on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody
after he was charged. Yes.
So like, Disney, you have more money than almost any corporation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to do a background check.
Right.
Like, we had to get background checks at companies that had significantly less money.
Yep.
We have local credit unions in the Salt Lake Valley who have four branches are doing background checks.
It doesn't fucking matter. If your line of work involves children whatsoever from age 0 to 18, you should be required to have a background check, an extensive, thorough background check.
And if you as a company feel like you cannot do that, then you should not be working with children.
Absolutely not. Look, and Nickelodeon has proven time and time again that they should not be working with children because they clearly don't have their best interests in mind.
So what do you think happens going forward with Nickelodeon? What do you foresee the future of Nickelodeon from this?
Well, I would like to see everybody that has been a constant. Well, maybe not everybody, because I'm sure not everybody knew what was going on. I mean, like, you know, super back, you know, like writers, you know, because they're not all working on the same stuff. So I'm sure there are some people who work for Nickelodeon who have no idea who Dan Schneider is. I mean, they'd probably know who he is, but have never met him, don't know anything about him. Like, they haven't
worked with him.
Right. They only know his body of work. So I can't say everybody, but I think that they need to go through and rip everyone out and start fresh, pretty much. Yeah. Hire in new people and, God damn it, have a child therapist on staff.
We're like 20 of them.
Yeah.
Like 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have a child therapist. Kid wakes up at 3 a.m. You should be able to call a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, you have your, the thing is, like,
they need to scrub. What they need to do is they need to scrub Dan Schneider's name from everything that they have.
And they should be doing constant investigations.
Yes.
On who they have there to make sure nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. And a zero tolerance policy. And you know what bugs me is people say, like, that takes work and time. Like, I don't give a shit. When you're
doesn't matter.
Working if with you're kids,
all about protect the children, then fucking protect them. It's not hard.
And spend the money to do it.
Yeah.
Hire therapists, hire doctors. You know, make sure you have internal investigation teams constantly checking on everything. Mm-hmm. Run background checks fucking yearly. Anonymous drug tests. Like, there's so many things you could be doing. Zero tolerance on any, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Protect these children that our government is forcing women to have because, you know, God forbid they have any rights of their own.
That's a different problem that we talked about last year or 2 years ago.
So what? It still applies.
I meant, go listen to that whole episode is what I'm saying to someone if they want to deep dive that.
I don't know. There needs to be a complete 180 of how things are done. And yeah, they have to start looking everywhere. They have to start shining their flashlights in every dark corner. And they need somebody who has the balls to come through and be like, all right, what the fuck is this going on over here? All right, we're going to investigate that. Oh, you're a creep ass. Get the fuck out.
Yes.
Go to jail. You know, like,
and not only firing them, but reporting them to the authorities.
Yes.
So they can't go work. And this policy needs to be done across, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's something what I'm looking for, but this, it can't just be like Disney and Nickelodeon because Dune had kids in it.
Yep.
Right? Did they?
I mean, tons of movies.
But most movies have people that are minors in it. Mm-hmm. And so this zero tolerance policy needs to just hit all of movie producing, period.
Yeah.
Universal, Disney, Fox, Nickelodeon, every single company out there needs to have this, like, no tolerance policy. They need to spend the time, effort, and energy to make sure that they're not having pedophiles around and firing their asses, reporting to authorities and reporting them to each other, like, hey, Disney, don't go hire Brian Peck.
Yeah. Maybe don't hire anybody who has been convicted of having sexual relations with a minor. Like, what are you doing? Not only that, but predatory. Like, yes. You're putting a fucking carnivore in a lamb's pen. Like, what are you doing?
And Brian Peck, not only was he like a sexual predator, he, like, set himself up in a situation that made it so he had full control over Drake's life.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an accident, but it wasn't like he stumbled into his dressing room and something happened, right? Like, mm-hmm. No, he
was able to manipulate it into...
So Drake and his dad didn't have a relationship.
Yeah, and then his mother would allow him to go hang out with Brian by himself as a teenager. I'm sorry. Well, this will be like our separate little, or a second little topic here about parents and the fucking issues with that. But yeah, like... He was able to completely just weasel his way in and take over. And like, why?
When he was like, I'm driving between studios. Brian's the one taking me. Like, why? Why is your mom not? And like, your dad literally was doing it happily. Mm-hmm. His dad enjoyed it because that's how they spent time together.
Yeah.
But
as far as Drake knew, because he was believing what Brian would say, because he probably thought Brian had his best intentions in mind because he works with Brian. But he believed him, saying, oh, no, your dad's just out to get you.
So they never said, but it kind of seemed like Drake doesn't really hold anything against his dad.
No, I don't think so.
It seemed like they have a decent relationship.
Yeah, and I think he did say that it took him a while to kind of reconstruct that because he was believing everything Brian was telling him. And yeah, I'm pretty sure they're slowly building that relationship back up. I mean, he didn't even tell his dad what happened to him.
Yeah.
And what's like so like heart-shattering is that when Brian Peck finally did get caught and charged, he called his dad and was like, hey, you know, did you see that Brian got in trouble? Like, the guy that you were worried about is in trouble for exactly what you thought. He's like, oh, yeah, see, I knew that there was something up with him, and I'm just so glad that he got in trouble before he got to you. And he still, like, just couldn't even bear it, like, bring himself to tell him, because he knew what it would do to his dad.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially his dad actively tried to get him to leave him alone. And he, when he turned everything over to his mom, he said, if this is what Drake wants, fine, but you will not allow him to be alone with Brian Peck ever.
And she just ignored it.
Did it probably because she was enjoying the paycheck.
And Drake's girlfriend's mom, dude.
Rock star. So took her all but 5 minutes to figure it out.
She was like, yeah, that would be my mom. The best part about the way he told us, story, I'm like, I 100% just visioned my mom, because if I was 16 or 14 or 15, whatever Drake was when this happened, and I don't remember what age he said, like, for this instance, but, you know, Brian's calling him, mm-hmm. and then starts calling the house. My mom would have answered the phone and been like, go away.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? Also, why is he calling their house? Like, what business would he have to have their phone number?
Yes, like, how did he get their phone number? Uh-huh. Like,
I mean, maybe Drake gave it to him because he was staying there a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, for a way to contact him, I don't know. But, yeah. And just the fact that she was like, dude, what's going on?
She's like, there's something weird going.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, like, yeah, he's, like, been acting really weird lately, da da da. And she's like, no, I don't care about that. What's going on, Drake? And, like, she knew. That is a parent. That is an adult who has children's best intentions.
They have the hard conversations.
Yes.
They don't just blow things off, take the paycheck. They are genuinely concerned. They mm-hmm. put in the work. That could not have been easy to call your daughter's boyfriend into the kitchen, shut the door, and be like, hey, I care about you a lot, but there's something not right here. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine doing that, right?
Because then she would also have to have a conversation, knowing that whenever Drake leaves, she's going to have a conversation with her daughter.
Like, her daughter would be like, what?
Like, and what are you doing? Like, why are you talking to Drake by himself? Like, you know?
Because that's a little weird.
Yeah, well, and she'd just be like, why couldn't I be in there, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you'd just be like, that's weird. Like,
yeah.
You know, none of my high school girlfriends pulled me aside to be mm-hmm. like, you know.
What's going on with you? Like, yeah. How's your day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, I talked to them all, but not like, you know, getting pulled into the kitchen to chat, right? Like,
yeah. Well, and at least I'm sure there's a ton of oversights that Drake's mother did or had, but at least she listened to the girlfriend's mom when she said, hey, we need to get him help because I'm pretty sure he's not safe and something's going on.
So is Drake's mom still alive?
I think so.
She's not in the show. Mm-mm. Which makes me think she's...
I'm sure they probably asked her and she probably just refused or declined, I'm sure. Because I'm sure she knows that all of America would probably come for her throat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
So there's the kind of my next little bit here that I kind of want to jump into. How do you feel about the parents that all made appearances in the documentary? Because some of them, I feel like, had the reason why they didn't say anything or didn't do anything. Like, I can understand why, like, but there's some that just completely didn't because of bullshit excuses.
Yeah. So like Drake's dad tried, and did he try hard enough? I don't know. It's so hard to know, right? It's 20 years ago.
Also understood that if he was wrong and he came and made these accusations, like, that could have been really bad.
And he's trying to, like, make sure his kid's career isn't effed up. He's trying to keep a relationship with his son, right? Mm-hmm. And Brian exploited that, right? He knew if he pushed the buttons and got Drake to be mad at his dad, it was way better than anything else. So he was patient and he played the game. And so, like, I think Drake's dad... he tried very hard. Unfortunately, he failed. And I think, you know, his love for his son is something that shouldn't be questioned.
I completely agree.
Drake's mom, I think, is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Out of all of the parents, I think Drake's dad is the one that should be, like, appreciated the most.
Like, we need more of them.
Yes.
If all parents were like them, like, the whole world would be better just because...
Yeah.
More trying.
Because I can understand them not wanting to get in front of their kids' dreams, you know? Especially Drake. Drake was so passionate about it. He was so passionate about wanting to be on stage, wanting to perform for people. So you wouldn't want to step in their way. But, I mean, I don't have kids. I mean, I'm a part-time, you know, caregiver, guardian to a toddler. And I just think, granted, I also probably would never be in this situation, but if I had a child that was in that situation, I just don't think there's anything worth it that if I had an ounce of an impression that something was going on, I would say, sorry, your dreams are going to have to step aside for a minute, but we're not doing this.
I think it's easier to say when they're younger.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is you have control when they're younger. So you have to be the bad guy for a little while.
With your niece, mm-hmm. you can give her ice cream a distractor.
Well, right? I'm even saying with a 10 to 13 year old, there's no reason why you can't step in as a parent and say, I understand that this is something that you really want, but we're not fucking doing this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You can wait until you're 18 to pursue this, but we're not doing it now.
Yeah. I think though when they're 14, 15, 16 and they have careers,
they're a lot more combative and they can't, you know,
yeah.
they have a much more like higher functioning brain. They can think a lot more for themselves.
I think it gets hard. Like the older they get, the harder it gets. And I think that's just natural. And I think it's hard for parents to balance that. Like I'm not a parent. And so I don't know. I think I would assume as you get older, it just gets harder to have that conversation and have it be effective, right? Like you can still have it, but I just think that the effectiveness just wears off, right?
I guess I just have, when it comes to people's best intentions, and I know that there's a situation that's just not good for them, I don't have a problem being the bad guy. Especially if it came to my children, I wouldn't tolerate that for a second. And at the very least, I would demand that I was present for everything. To allow my kid to still go forward with it, if I felt like things were a little bit off, I would make sure that I was there for everything. I would be there on set when they were filming. And why? Like, because how they kept saying in the documentary, parents weren't allowed on set. Why?
What do you think? Who made the rule?
But like, how is that even a rule? Was it even like an actual official rule, or is that just what they said?
Probably just what they said. I think now it's the other way around. I think an adult has to be on set.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
I don't know Hollywood's rules. I don't care to learn them as much as there is to there. So like, but I think, so if I'm wrong, no one shoot me on that one. But whatever. I think though, so going back to the parents, Brandy's mom, I don't think she tried as hard as she could have, but I also don't think she was bad.
I do.
Okay, so which parts?
Because her excuse for not telling the police as soon as I can't remember what his name is, and it's a good name to have scrubbed from your memory because he's a fucking pile of dog shit.
It's
Jason something. Peck. There's three. There's Dan Schneider, Brian Peck, and then the third guy I can't remember.
And the other guy was the one arrested before Brian Peck.
Yes.
And then Brian Peck was arrested after.
Uh-huh. And they'd served like no time at all.
Brian Peck's was 16 months.
16 months and he served 4.
Yep.
Yeah. Bullshit.
And then I think he had like some probation, which was nothing because he's rich. So yeah.
Child predators deserve nothing. Anyway, the Brandy's mother, her excuse was that she didn't want to go to the police or she was afraid to go to the police because she didn't want the police to think that she was a bad mom for allowing that to happen.
I forgot she said
that. No, fuck you. Go to the police.
You're a bad mom for not saying
you're anything. A bad mom for not standing up for your daughter.
Like once you find out, then you stand up.
Yes.
So do you think she didn't say anything because of the paycheck?
Absolutely.
And she has manipulated.
Well, she said, I just didn't want to get in front of my daughter because this is what my daughter wanted. You know, she wanted to be so badly to be on All That and to be a part of the Amanda Show. Yeah, fuck you. You probably saw that paycheck and was like, yeah, this is nice.
Because she's not working.
No.
Life's good, man.
Her daughter didn't even want to be a part of the documentary.
Yeah, which I thought was it. Did you ever look up why?
No. I mean, I'm sure she just doesn't want to be involved.
I mean, I also don't blame people for just being like, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, that's another thing that I want to talk about.
Especially like the victims.
Yes, especially because so many people, granted, I am not Ariana Grande's biggest fan, but so many people have been like, oh, like, why isn't Ariana Grande talking about it? Why isn't, why isn't Miranda Cosgrove talking about it? It's like, okay, well, first of all, we don't know what they went through, what they had to deal with. We can clearly see that Ariana Grande was put in really terrible situations just off of the footage that you see in
and
the
we also documentary. Don't know the state she's in right now.
No.
Like Drake barely made it through.
Mm-hmm. And you don't it's such a double-edged sword because we want victims to speak up and to, you know, blow the whistle on the people who have assaulted them and have done terrible things to them. But you also can't force people to revisit that part of their past. And I just don't think that's fair. Yeah. So if someone doesn't want to speak out about their experience, they shouldn't have to. If they're withholding information that is potentially, like, you know, saving somebody else, like life or death, or, you know.
So I think
there's a little bit more of an obligation, but
I have a very big caveat there. I don't think they have any obligation to speak to the press, to the public.
I don't think they do either.
I do think they have an obligation to speak to the authorities because they need to, like, at some point someone has to speak up and say, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. Someone needs to stop this.
Yes.
So I don't think,
because I mean, Drake Bell, he did it without, he did it anonymously, or not anonymously, but he had his name left out. So when that went public and Brian Peck got in trouble, no one knew that it was Drake Bell.
Yes.
No one knew that it was Drake Bell until 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so,
I
agree.
Like, I think, like,
you know, if you know something's going on, report it to the police.
Yes. And do it. If you feel like you need to do it anonymously, like that side, that's your choice. But I do feel like if something is going on, either you need to speak up to the authorities, because if you don't stop it, someone else is going to be the next victim.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to keep happening.
It's going to keep happening until someone speaks up. And it's probably only going to get worse because you and I have talked about a lot of true crime. And guess what happens? They do a small crime. They get away with it. Then they do a bigger one. Then they do a bigger one. And then they do a bigger one. Like, you know, the one dude that locked that girl in his house for 3 years or whatever. Like, that wasn't his first crime.
Yeah.
You know, kidnapping someone. He
kept getting away with it.
He kept doing bigger things. So, like, people need to speak up because the next person's probably going to be in a worse spot than you.
Yeah. And, like, at the end of the day, I don't feel like it's worth it to have that weighing on your conscience, you know?
Yeah.
Knowing that you could have prevented something, like, just do it. And, you know, I do not think that they need to speak to the press by any means. I do not think that Ariana Grande needed to come in and talk on the documentary.
If she didn't
need to do that.
If she doesn't feel like it's right for her, then fuck everyone else. She doesn't need to come talk on the documentary.
I also really hate how a lot of people are kind of, they're not like, I haven't seen like a lot of backlash, but there's so many people that are now like trying to come at Amanda Bynes. It's like, well, why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you, obviously, like, you don't have anything going anymore. Like, why can't you say anything? Are you fucking kidding me? Look at her.
Like,
this is the reason why she, you know.
But what's done with that is, one, she got out of rehab 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
or 7 months ago, whatever the math is on that. This documentary came out 2 weeks ago. It wasn't filmed 2 weeks ago. It was probably filmed last summer.
Like, she probably wasn't in a place to be on the documentary. And if she doesn't want to be, that's her choice.
Yes. And she probably, unfortunately, never will be with Howell.
And to be fair, she probably has told us all everything that has happened, but nobody wanted to listen to her.
Yeah.
She had nobody on her side. And look at what has happened because of it. Which is Drake is lucky.
Yeah. Really sad. He's probably lucky because his dad, honestly.
Yeah.
Even though they had a rough patch, like, I'm sure his dad went a lot there. But Amanda Bynes, like, it's sad because she had a brand of, like, these, like, tweeny bopper movies after the Amanda Bynes show, right?
Yep.
And they were fun. They're, like, little rom-com kind of stuff. And they were fun. But I feel like we never got to see her as, like, a true powerhouse.
Yeah, but she was starting to, though.
But like, she had like the potential.
And just by watching her interviews, like on talk shows, and just the charisma that she had at such a young age, the way that she carried herself and the way that she spoke, I could just tell that she was gonna be a star.
She, like, could have been like in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Like, or like just anything. She would like could be an Oscar winning actress. So, you know,
like just huge things, right? Like,
especially in comedy. Like, she would have shined so brightly. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad to see that the world, society, and Hollywood just chewed her up and spit her right back out and didn't give a fuck.
And then just left her.
And now she's just a shell.
Yeah, she doesn't
even. Hopefully, you know, she is making a recovery and turning things around. I really do hope that she can, you know, find something in her life to give her peace, whatever that may be. But
she doesn't even look like herself.
No, I mean, I feel like I can see her and I still see Amanda Bynes, but Yeah. I mean, she probably just has done a lot of things to herself too, because she doesn't want to be associated with the person she was.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to run from it. Why can you blame her? Like,
no, that wasn't a, she doesn't look like herself. She's screwed up. Like, that's like a,
well, I know what you mean. Like, you don't, that like, you look at her and she just doesn't look like Amanda, you know?
Yes.
The Amanda that we loved and
that we all grew up with.
Yeah. It's sad. And unfortunately that happens with like tons of people, like who just have to deal with it all the time, like outside of Hollywood. It's crazy. It's awful. It sucks. And I wish people were better. I wish adult human beings were better. And it's crazy to me that so much of this conversation is always about, oh, we need to protect the kids. We need to protect the kids. But everything we fucking do
hurts the kids.
What
really bothers me, and I mean this very nicely and not to hurt yours feelings or our podcast feelings, but you and I could sit and talk about this for an hour and no one's going to care.
Yeah.
Like
Hollywood. There's probably going to be people that'll probably see the title of this episode and they're probably just tired of hearing about it. Like, I've heard enough about it. I don't care.
Which I don't blame you. Hollywood's going to go on. Hollywood's going to have another Predator.
Hollywood's going to keep on Hollywooding.
And what bugs me is the people that really need to care are the ones that aren't. Mm-hmm. And then you and I, who have full-time jobs, are taking time out of our life.
Like put you and me in those positions. We'd get shit done.
Yeah, let me and you go walk around Nickelodeon for a week, and I bet we could find a lot more Predators than Nickelodeon
has in the past. Let's find all the rats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be pretty, but the kids will be safer, I can promise you that.
Yeah, 100%. It sucks.
And, like, we're not private investigators. We're not, like, these professionals. We're not therapists. Like, we're not any of these things. But we could do a hell of a lot better job than what they're doing.
Good people.
But we'll try.
Yeah, we try. And just that's the shitty thing is these people aren't trying and they're getting away with it, like you said. And that's why they keep doing it.
Yes. And just it bothers me because I'm like, I'm sitting here, we were talking and I'm just going, what's next? Like the next Predator comes up, right? Like they're just like shit. Like tomorrow, like who knows? Like there could be something from Disney or Fox. Like there probably will be in the next 12 months.
Yeah. Well, another thing too that I think is just out of bad taste is there's some Disney stars too that have like talked about it, and they talk about it very lightheartedly, like the documentary itself, I mean. And one of the actresses who was on That's So Raven has even like made like some really bad tasteful jokes about it. And like she made a TikTok and it was like she was doing some lip syncing thing and she was like on the phone and it was like, just calling Disney to see when my NDA is up. It's like, okay, I get it. I get where you're coming from, but also like now's not the right time.
Yeah.
Like, let's just have a little bit of class here. I don't know. It's too bad. And after like 2 days after I watched it, I just sat and festered about it. Cause I watched the whole series in a day and I just festered and festered about it.
I've kind of been in a bad mood all day about it.
Yeah.
It's just like been lingering in my mind.
Mm-hmm. A part of it too, though, is going back and seeing like clips from these shows that I used to love as a kid and seeing how like gross and awful they are. It's like part of me sitting here thinking and like looking at Nickelodeon, like, how dare you do that to me? How dare you do that to all these other kids? How dare you do that to my brothers, my friends who are watching your shows? How fucking dare you?
Yeah.
And it makes you feel gross and cheap.
Yeah.
And imagine what those kids on the shows felt like. It's awful.
We're just products to them, man. Yep.
They don't give a shit. They're making the money. That's exactly the problem, is money.
And unfortunately, what's the saying? All press is good press? Whatever.
Is that a saying? I don't know.
There's something like that.
Yeah.
All night, whatever. And so like, Nickelodeon's name has been thrown around a billion times in the past 3 days.
That's true.
Sure. And probably like, yeah, our name's been spoken. Like,
it's disgusting. Well, and not only that, but Dan Schneider got an interview. I think it was through the Hollywood Reporter after the documentary came out, and he gave this bullshit apology. It's like, stop giving these fucking idiots their platform. Cut them off. Cut them from the tit that's giving them all the money, and fucking throw them in jail. Like,
I would be fine with an apology from someone if it wasn't a PR apology. Yeah. That's what
if really it wasn't me. A publicity stunt. Sure.
They're written by, they have, Dan didn't write it. Some, some publicator came in. What's that's not the right word. What the fuck are they called? You know, some writer came in and wrote him. You know, some PR writer came in and wrote
him. A publicist
and
or something.
He wrote it off. He, you know, he wrote it for like, you know, I, you know, like everyone's scared to say the wrong thing. So everyone hires PR people to come in and so everyone gives these bland answers, right? Not just apologies, but just in media in general. And I just want someone to speak from the heart for once.
Yeah. Like, you know, for a fact that he has information for all these people, you know, that he has ways of contacting them. Fucking call them up and say, hey, sorry that we made your life hell.
Yeah.
But also, if he is guilty of, you know, doing the things that he did, or well, that Amanda Bynes is alluding to, then fuck him. He doesn't deserve any of that. He doesn't deserve a peace of mind. He deserves to wake up every morning and stub his toe every goddamn day in his jail cell.
Stub his toe. That's how you want him to start his day.
Yeah. I want him to start his day stubbing his toe.
Just such a little petty thing, but it's just like would be the most annoying thing.
Yeah. It's because it's a public platform. The things that I really feel about him that I'd like to have him experience every day, I probably can't say on a podcast.
You know how there's like, never mind, I'll tell you off air.
Yeah, it's best. It just sucks too, because it's like I've known so many people who have gone through this type of situation, and it's terrible. What it does to them, it's awful. And I just, like, when is it going to end? And why are there so many predators out there? And like, why, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. All I can say is if you have experienced anything like that, I apologize. You know, I can't apologize enough.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can find peace. And if you know something, please, for the love of God, say something. Report it to the police. And watch out for kids, man.
Check on kids, man.
Yeah. Especially your own. Just because you can have kids doesn't mean you shouldn't. Doesn't mean everybody should. You know what I'm saying? Mm. All right. Well, that's enough of that.
Well, now that we ruined your day sufficiently.
Yeah. You get to start off your middle of your week with...
Tell your friends about us.
A nice cuddly...
Maybe a different episode to share, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Or if you want us to talk more about it, sure. Like, I mean, it sucks. It's a heavy topic, but we do, you know... We like sharing our thoughts on these things because they are important to us.
Every now and then we'll get into it deep. I mean, I think generally speaking, we like to keep it light and fun because the world sucks enough as it is. They don't need. But every now and then you got
to
speak up.
Yeah, things have to be addressed. And, you know, I don't even know what the last hour of our thoughts, they just seemed like all jumbled, but, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have a half thought and I would ask you a question and we'd go down a rabbit hole.
It's just more of a vent session, you know, of anything. Because, I mean... As best as it could be. Like I said, I can't say everything I want to say because it's just not appropriate. But anyway, if you want to email us and let us know what to talk about next or anything, you can do so by emailing us at
culturecouchpod@gmail.com.
Yes. And you can DM us on Instagram at
culture_couch.
Yeah, that is all. As always, thank you for listening.